finding them on the papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it don't already.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this Monday, the 17th of April, 2006. We've been talking with Robbie Noel, with Republic Trading Group, and boy, I can't do anything right today. I totally goofed up my Good Morning Vietnam, and I couldn't. I can nail you. I can do your voice, but I can't do it today for some reason. I just.
I've got to add one more thing on the Zimbabwean thing, because the caller made a very good point. The average working stiff in Zimbabwe can't afford to buy an ounce of gold, because an ounce of gold in Zimbabwe today is 59 million Zimbabwean dollars. A chicken is $1 million Zimbabwean dollars. So yeah, I mean, when things get out of whack, the ordinary working stiff couldn't afford, in Zimbabwe, for instance, to spend 59 million Zimbabwean dollars buying an ounce of gold. So, I mean, it's one of those catch-22 situations.
I'll tell you what, if you want to grab that and put that on hold, I'm only going to have you for a couple more minutes.
Okay.
All right. While he does that, he puts an interested customer online. Let me go to Bill in Pennsylvania. Hello, Bill.
Hi, John.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
I enjoy listening to your show, and I enjoy Robbie's show and all the program hosts at RBN.
Well, I appreciate that.
I just basically have kind of a suggestion, maybe, that's it's kind of on the subject matter that you're talking about. I know that RBN does push the selling of gold a lot, and I own some gold myself. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot, but I have some of it.
Right.
But I don't hear... Usually when I do listen, I don't hear a lot of the foundational history of gold as far as some of the very interesting anecdotal information. And I've read some of that history myself, and a lot of it's extremely fascinating, very dramatic reading, as a matter of fact. And I know you've probably read a lot yourself. I just think it would be really interesting for the listener maybe to get a good healthy dose maybe over the course of a couple of programs of the history of gold.
Gold history. That's an interesting
sure.
That's an interesting point. I'm sure we could do that.
And especially with regard to this country, with the Spanish coming in, and I mean, there's tons and tons of stories, factually based stories. And I just think maybe that would even whet the listener's appetites more for purchasing gold.
Well, I've been telling them to do it for better than 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and the smart ones have done exactly that. The smart ones right now are sitting with a nice little cache. And, by the way, for that listener that called in before, if you can't afford to buy the gold at 600 and plus an ounce, take a look at silver. Silver has got a tremendous upside. So always consider that. All right. Appreciate your suggestion, Bill. We will take that to heart.
Great
and
suggestion.
And we will do something about that.
I definitely will, because, you know, when you talk about freedom and we talk about liberty a lot, gold is a symbol of that very freedom that we talk about. It has been the symbol of freedom since time began. I mean, the history and the story of gold is as fascinating as American history itself, because to understand gold, and because it answers all those questions about empires and rape and pillage and plunder and deceit, and it's got everything. I mean, it's a soap opera story in and of itself.
And it's repeating itself once again. Hey, Robbie, we're running out of time here. That deal one more time, call Republic Trading Group at 800-691-7898, and you're prepared to offer them today?
It's a 10-pack Uruguay. In other words, 2.5 ounces of gold plus 20 silver American Eagles. It's the full 20-year date set, all shipped and delivered for $23.90.
What a deal. 800-691-7898. Robbie Noel, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Let me allow you to get back to work. Thanks a lot. All right, we'll take the break. We'll come back right after this, get into the news and the info of the day, and there's a lot of it. We'll be right back.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. I want to invite you to visit our new and improved website at republictradinggroup.com or simply click on the banner at rbnlive.com. Getting timely information on critical financial and political news has never been more important. By starting your day with a visit to the site, it will preserve that promise we make to liberty about being ever vigilant. Speaking of which, those who were vigilant about gold and silver this time last year were well rewarded. We also invite you to sign up to our free weekly newsletter and receive special offers from Republic Trading Group. And for those of you who don't have internet access, just give Republic Trading Group a call and speak to either Jeff Bennett or myself, and we'll be happy to arrange the snail mail alternative. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
While I was talking with Robbie, he was talking about gas prices, I started to look up some stories here. And one that is, I don't know if you could call it quieting or disquieting. I wasn't even aware of this. Did you folks know out there that we have a government bureaucracy called the Energy Information Administration? Yes, it's the EIA. San Francisco, Market Watch, with a national average price of regular unleaded gasoline at nearly $2.70 a gallon. It's hard to believe we may actually go through the summer without reaching the record level we saw 7 months ago. But that's exactly what Energy Information Administration, the reporting arm of the Energy Department, said Tuesday, pegging its expected average price for regular unleaded gas at $2.62 a gallon between April 1st and September 30th. And as all with the government bureaucrats, of course, they missed a mark again. That would be 25 cents higher than the $2.37 average seen in the same period a year earlier, according to the short-term energy outlook. But even at the peak, prices won't likely reach the 307 record set in September 2005, the administrator Guy Caruso said at a news conference Tuesday. That, of course, is contingent upon the no big surprise factor. Or, as one guy said in during the Waco investigations and hearings, the O capital S with a hit factor. That's what they're saying here, the no big surprise factor. There are a lot of scenarios we could envision, said Michael Burdett, the senior analyst at the EIA, but that is an average path that we're forecasting, he said. We're not predicting hurricanes. We're not predicting refinery accidents. We're just looking at the overall outlook. Now, the government's forecast is reasonable, said Tom Kloza, chief oil analyst at the Oil Price Information Service, although they probably understate the excess on top. Now, quite a few factors have already influenced gasoline prices. A recent decline in gasoline imports, together with U.S. refinery maintenance, has reduced the year-over-year surplus in gasoline inventory levels. And that's according to James, I do believe this guy's name is Schenker, an economist at Wachovia Group. Combined with the phase-out of MTBEs, or methyl, I'm not even going to try to say it, the MTBEs in gasoline, by May, it's rather a bullish factor for prices ahead of the peak driving season. Now, Schenker concludes that gasoline prices this summer will be higher than the EIA estimates. But the key difference between this year and last year is that crude inventories are quite rich, he said, at 346 million barrels, or 25 million barrels greater than last year at the same time. Now, refinery maintenance and the lingering shock over last year's record hurricane season in the Gulf of Mexico are among the biggest reasons that gasoline prices are at lofty levels at a time that usually offers a seasonal lull in demand. Now, the EIA pegged the average price per gallon for regular unleaded gasoline at $2.68 as of April 10th. That's almost up 18% from a year ago level of $2.28 a gallon, and up 22% from the end of last year. Now, in Hurricane Katrina's wake, the average price per gallon for regular unleaded hit a record of $3 and some change in early September, and diesel reached an all-time high of $3.15 a gallon in October. Now, the fuel prices were a huge blow to the transportation industry, with Class 1 railroads, those with annual revenues of at least almost $290 million, spending an estimated $6.2 billion for diesel fuel alone, according to Tom White, a spokesman for the Association of American Railroads. That compares with $4.4 billion in 2004. That's up significantly, folks, almost $2 billion. Now, together, Katrina, Hurricane Rita halted around 144 million barrels of oil production from August 26th through April 5th. In the Gulf of Mexico, according to the Minerals Management Service. That equals a 26% of all the Gulf year's oil production. As of April 5th, 340,438 barrels a day of oil production remained offline. Data shows, adding to the market's woes, a larger than usual number of refineries are undergoing repairs and maintenance. Yeah. Jeez. Just a time when gas prices and oil prices, the demand is still there. Just a number of these things just remained offline. Now, what does that do to the bottom line? When you go to pull that hose out of the little receptacle at your fill-up station, that means your prices are going to remain high. Now, I'm not going to go into any more of this. Suffice it to say that maybe I'm in the wrong business because, you know, if I was an Exxon CEO right now, I'd be making roughly $144,000 a day. I don't even know if there's professional athletes out there making $144,000 a day. But evidently, it's a rich business, and they're getting richer. Profits are absolutely gone through the roof. Well, for what reason? Well, let me see. Katrina, that was almost a year ago, folks. Why are the prices at the pumps still high? Well, it could be because they're taking so many refineries offline to do needed maintenance. But see, if we had enough refinery capacity in this country, you could take half of the refineries offline and it wouldn't matter. I mean, it would matter over a long period of time, but not short term for maintenance or whatever. So here again we go. We're getting zoomed all over again. I just want to remind folks that if you go to the RBN Live site, one thing that Stan Solomon did, he hit it inside the park home run on this one, the fuel mule. Now, this is something that attaches to your, as long as you have a fuel-injected motor, and it doesn't matter if it's diesel, gasoline, you burn ethanol, I don't care what it is. If it goes through a fuel injector and goes in a combustion engine and it's fired, this fuel mule will help you. They're guaranteeing, now get this, an increase of 10% minimally on your gas mileage, whether it's diesel or gasoline. Most people are reporting anywhere from 20 to 30% savings in their fuel. This unit, I do believe, sells for like $89, so you do the math out there. How long would it take you to gain back, you using that little formula, say that you're saving 20 to 30% in fuel, how long would it take you to repay the purchase of that unit? How long would your investment take to buy back, in other words? Well, not long, depending. I mean, if you only drive once a month, folks, don't buy it. But if you drive on a daily basis and you do a lot of long distance driving and you're not getting cut, a check cut back from your company for expenses, you know, this could add up to significant savings for you. So go up to the website, take a look at it, rbnlive.com. Check out the fuel mule. You may be glad that you did. And by the way, if you're smart enough to replace a washer and a faucet at your house or change out a light switch, you can install it yourself. If not, take it to your trusted local mechanic. It's no more than a 10-minute job, and it's installed, and you're on your way. So give us a call here at 800-724-2719. Make your purchase of the fuel mule. Folks, like anything else, it's guaranteed, or your money back, no questions asked. We guarantee it. At any rate, let me get on to the regular news. I'll tell you what, since I did the gas thing, I really wanted to do that because people are always interested in how much more they've got to pull out of their backside, or I'm sorry, their back pocket, in order to survive in today's world. I just wanted to slide that in there. But do me a favor, Mr. Producer, if you would, Charlie Sheen, this guy is not going to stop, and I'm going to read you Ted Lang's take on the difference between Charlie Sheen and Cindy Sheehan. Well, it's kind of a Sheehan, Sheen, that's kind of a, yeah. At any rate, Sheen was on Jimmy Kimmel's live broadcast on Friday, and Kimmel surprised me. I don't know, I'm hoping that this is a trend that's going to stick around in the industry. Go ahead, Mr. Producer, hit that.
Our first guest tonight is not only a member of the world-famous Sheen family of actors, little-known fact, also the genius behind the lucrative Afro-Sheen empire.
Really?
That's right.
Did not know
you know
that.
Him from movies like Platoon and Wall Street, and in addition to seeing him every week on Two and a Half Men, opening tonight, you can see him in Scary Movie 4. Please welcome the indestructible Charlie Sheen. Happy almost Easter.
Hey, back at you. Thank you.
You had some interesting comments. You were on a radio show, and you talked about 9/11, and you have, is it a theory, or you just don't believe the government account of what happened on 9/11?
I just had questions.
Yeah?
I had a lot of questions, and the forum I chose to voice those questions in is the Alex Jones radio show,
mm-hmm.
and just because he's a guy that I've been a fan of and followed for a lot of years, and... you know, I got attacked. I mean, there were a lot of hit pieces. The reaction was
yeah. People get
severe.
Very mad when celebrities
mad.
Have
no,
opinions.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. I know he's not qualified. He doesn't. You know, he's just who the hell is he to have an opinion about something so horrible? And you know, it was sad because they didn't really take a look at any of the stuff I was asking them to look at, any of the evidence or any of the stuff that generated those questions. You know, and they said, "Oh, he's another tinfoil hat wearing Hollywood clown." You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's like the only. You know, I felt that the only real validation I needed was just being a tax-paying American that loves my country.
Yeah, and you, I mean, it's just something that you wonder about, and you would like to know more about,
sure.
I assume. And do you,
sure.
do you study the tapes? And you?
I've done a lot of research, and it's not just me, it's the people that have come before me, the experts and the engineers and the physicists and the scientists and the scholars that raised a lot of these things, and I took a look at their research and said, yeah, it doesn't add up. A lot of it doesn't add up. Hence, these questions, you know. And there's two areas. There's Building 7 and there's the five frames from the Pentagon. Don't listen to me. Do your own research, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, what happened to a time in this country when we were entitled, when we had a constitutional and a God-given right to be curious about things that didn't make sense. That's
well,
all it was.
Well, because we have a lot of cable shows now, and thank you. And they need stuff to be mad about. So, you know, stuff like this is like, oh, boy, we could yell about this for an entire week. And
sure.
Plus, with your dad being the president and all, it puts a lot of the focus on it.
That's true. Yeah, I should have conferred with him before I came out publicly. You
know? Right. That was Charlie Sheen on Jimmy Kimmel Live's program on Friday. And I'm hoping that more of these talk show hosts don't shy away from Charlie Sheen because, well, that would be a mistake. Now, I was wondering how long this Charlie Sheen horse would run. And evidently it has no signs of slowing down. And I'm glad because, you know, as I said at the outset, you know, we've had Hollywood celebrities come forth. And folks, believe it or not, they're Americans too. They may not seem that way at times, and sometimes when you listen to them, you scratch your head and go, what did they just say? There's a lot of celebs out there, folks, that the one half of their brain does not talk to the other. That is not the case with Charlie Sheen. He knows his subject matter well, but more importantly, he's sticking to his guns. Ted Lang, he wrote this. He said, America's gift, Charlie Sheen. He says, as of this moment in America's brief history, Charlie Sheen, the actor, is its greatest living patriot. Cindy Sheehan has paid a much higher price and has voiced her objections to the war in Iraq, thereby establishing herself as being against the Bush regime and therefore an American traitor by their definition. And make no mistake, Charlie Sheen is now seen as a traitor as well by the Washington criminal elite. Now, Charlie eclipses Sheehan for one very major reason. The MSM, that's called mainstream media, folks, has marginalized her. She lives or dies with respect to her patriotic efforts to hold the most dangerous criminals on earth accountable, dependent upon the whim of the MSM. She fully understands her role as a newsmaker. She goes out, attracts attention, and then hopes she gets the media coverage she so desperately needs to get her message across to the American people. She is dependent on the media. Charlie Sheen, on the other hand, is the media. But Charlie isn't allowing the eight multi-zillionaire Zionist, Ted Lang says, who owns and operates and controls virtually all news and information outlets in America, to throttle him. Charlie's sorely needed the assist from Ed Asner's scheduled appearance on CNN, which the Zionists pulled, by the way, and all this happened within the same week of the release of the now famous Harvard University JFK School of Government's report on the Israeli lobby, proving not only Israel's powerful pressure on the Bush regime in sending our troops to fight and die for another nation's interest and not that of our own, but exposing also the powerful pro-Israel leanings in the mainstream media as well. When Cindy Sheehan pointed out that the Israeli domination of the Bush regime in the American Congress, she was lambasted by Bush propaganda attack dogs like Rush Limbaugh, Mr. O'Reilly, and Sean Hannity. But the MSM removed her from public view and spiked her public appearances. But Charlie Sheen is another matter entirely. It is totally up to Charlie how far he's willing to go, but indications are that he's going to hang tough and see this thing through to its very final conclusion. And Charlie's approach is the right one. Just as with the case with Ed Asner, others will join him. Charlie is smashing holes in the Bush defense and providing the lead blocks that open up holes and prepare the way for a touchdown. For you football-minded folks out there, there's an analogy for you. During his appearance on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Show April 14th, the video of which is once again being supplied by yet another great American patriot, Alex Jones. Well, Ted thinks Alex is a great patriot. And Alex started this ball rolling. It was Charlie Sheen, folks, that called Alex. Why? Because he was reviewing Mr. Jones's material. That's why. Charlie touched upon what will easily be the number one argument that will undoubtedly be launched by the Bush MSM propagandists. Their argument will simply offer that Charlie is just another Hollywood kook. Think of buffoon Clinton and now Bab Streisand. Alec Baldwin and other Hollywood celebs have supported him while lambasting Republicans. Now, Limbaugh and company wasted no time in marginalizing them, but now it'll take a high-profile individual, readily known and appreciated by the American public, to bring the needed inquiry to the foundation of the criminal Bush's regime's monumental strength. And that power base is fear generated by 9/11. Charlie Sheen is indeed the man that can do this. Now, as Charlie pointed out to Kimmel, all that's needed is for someone to articulate a little louder what others, namely many extremely qualified experts, have been saying for a very long time. And Charlie himself is saying absolutely nothing accusatory. All he is doing is inviting the American people to think outside the box and to start asking questions instead of taking the nation's chief executive's liar's word. We listened to the liar before and heard no nation building. We listened to the liar before and we were told the trailers held biological weapons. We listened to the liar before and we were told Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, even when U.S. weapons inspectors and Hans Blix told the U.S. there were none. We listened to the liar-in-chief when he told us that Saddam was working on nuclear weapons with the Niger Yellowcake. And do we believe him again when he states he didn't out Valerie Plame? Are we going to allow him to attack Iran and start World War III? Now, who's the only one in America that is beginning to make a difference? Sure, Cindy was there first, and God bless her for doing it. But it is Charlie Sheen who's the top gun. And as for marginalizing himself by telling Kimmel that he's just an actor and therefore not really an expert, I'd put more stock in him or his dad running this country than the highly experienced politicians and their bureaucrats that are being increasingly exposed as criminals and traitors. I doubt if either of them ever called the United States Constitution just a GD piece of paper. Now, just look at the fraud behind the comment, no political experience. What is political experience? Is it selling a parcel of repossessed land held by the city of Newark, New Jersey, to a political crony for a single dollar so the political favorite can turn around, build 55 homes on a plot, and then sell them for $6 million? Is that political experience? Or is it political experience to manufacture the falsehood of the Gulf of Tonkin attack upon our Navy by communists when the real one launched by Israel that killed 34 of our servicemen is ignored and guarded as a national secret? Is that what political experience is about? Is political experience when one who serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee journeys to Tel Aviv to receive training on the latest Israeli policy to be incorporated into the foreign policy of the United States? Is it political know-how to lie to America during the constitutionally mandated State of the Union address? It seems to me that the only real qualification, especially for the office of the President of the United States, is more morality and honesty. And from where I sit, Charlie Sheen is heavily endowed with both. Now, think of me in my tiny, insignificant column, Lang says, in my local hometown newspaper. White picket fences, a barking dog here and there, kids laughing and playing, the lawn nut on his garden tractor, the guy with his chainsaw. Got the picture? How do I tell these gentle, uninformed folk that the Bush gang did 9/11? And knowing that they'll think I'm a screwball and a left-wing nut, and God forbid it. A Democrat, they won't even buy a more moderate version of a mere accusation of a government cover-up, but then there's Charlie. I'll say whatever the heck I want and put it all on Charlie. I will be his bad. Now, see how this works, folks? Same deal with the Harvard Report. That's why America's number one torture specialist, Alan Dershowitz, bless his little teddy holes, my mama used to say, a teacher at Harvard Law, who was instrumental in getting JFK Dean Stephen Walt fired for telling the truth about Israel and its tax-exempt foreign agent lobby, is so miffed right now and screaming anti-Semitism. For it was none other than teacher Dershowitz, in his rant against the government scholars, that hyperlinks to the Harvard paper, which still shows the Harvard University logo, that got Walt fired. I thought that Harvard panicked and dropped their logo from the Mearsheimer and Walt report. How come Dershowitz is still showing this? Time for Harvard to seriously consider firing this traitor to America. Now, this prestigious report can be used in the same fashion as Charlie Sheen's simple inquiries. Where are finally, they are finally, finally, folks, being carried on the fringe of the mainstream media? I'll continue with this right after this break, folks. This is something to think about. I just wished there are better minds waiting in the wings in Hollywood to come forth because they can use their celebrity. I mean, you heard the clip. Charlie Sheen actually said the C word, Constitution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. You cannot escape the headlines and the warnings about where the value of the U.S. dollar is going. Since November of last year, the 10-year U.S. Treasury has lost 1.6% of its value. The popular S&P 500 index has inked out a small 4.6% gain, while gold and silver have returned 20%. There's no doubt gold and silver have regained its luster as an asset class, and the reasons are simple. The twin U.S. deficits have spiraled out of control, and the accumulated debt in the United States has become way too high to be effectively ever repaid. It will either have to default or, more likely, inflate. There's never been a more important time to call Republic Trading Group to secure your future. Call us today and speak to Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call that number at 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Well. Now, this prestigious report, as I said earlier, can be used in the same fashion as Charlie Sheen's simple inquiries, which are finally being carried out on the fringe of the mainstream media. Now, think about this, folks. This is showing up on comedy shows first, okay? Showing up on people that make a living out of telling jokes. Well, this is a serious matter, and we're not joking about this, okay? But at least it's hitting the mainstream. And the reason why it did is because Charlie Sheen is Charlie Sheen. I mean, let's face it. The guy's a Hollywood actor. You know, he's a box office draw. It's almost guaranteed you pen his name to a contract for a TV show, it's going to be a hit. There's a lot of money riding on this guy. But how far are they willing to run with Charlie Sheen before they have to tell him, hey, boy, shut your mouth? Well, I don't know if that's going to be possible or not. Or maybe Charlie has decided that, I think he's in his 40s now, that maybe he's made enough money. You know, he's done over 60 films. I think he's done 64 or 65 films, a couple of films due to be released this year. I mean, he's a hot Hollywood commodity. Now, think about this, folks. How many times have you heard from other patriots in this country that, my goodness, I can't say anything at work, or I can't talk about this at work. I may lose my job. Well, I can guarantee you, you weren't making the money that Charlie Sheen was making every year. And look what this guy did. Maybe he's willing and prepared for Hollyweird to pull the plug on him. Maybe he's already made his money. Maybe he's not going to prostitute himself. Maybe Charlie Sheen is exactly what he says he is. Just an American with a lot of questions that he once answered. Only he's got the notoriety when he speaks. Boy, it brings out a myriad of naysayers. Let's attack the messenger and not let's consider the message that he's trying to convey. It's classic, classic, folks. Now, analyzing all this and putting it into some kind of perspective is now in order. Now, what latent anomaly can be noted regarding all this foregoing? Can you see it? Is it in the fissure of the Bush wall erected around the mainstream media's elements of the MSMR, albeit ever so slowly, beginning to come around and are beginning to give Charlie a shot in the much-needed spotlight for truth? Why is that? There can be several reasons, Lange says, but the first cut should be the recognition that the American people are rapidly catching on to the media's act. More and more people are beginning to fall away from the Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Hannity baloney of the liberal media. More are beginning to see the agenda of Israel and its horrific control of both of our governments and media. And conversely, the media suits are also beginning to take notice. Whether the decreasing reliance on TV cable and the network news or the plummeting print news circulation numbers and dollars, Charlie's approach might generate some really big-time revenue numbers, or perhaps the media elites will realize that the impending Bush destruction of America will eradicate their massive holdings in a once profitable industry. Who can say at this point? All we can hope for is that Charlie stays the course and Fitzgerald carries the ball into the end zone. Now, well, I'll just leave that lay where it is. No further comment needs to be made. By the way, I wanted to mention this, and I don't know who these people are. So, Virginia Brooks, I hope that you're listening to the program today. They are doing a thing here, and you people in Ohio, this is very important for you. This is an important meeting. Virginia Brooks is the woman's name. She said, you're cordially invited to attend the first ever Sheriff's Minuteman Fair Rally that has indeed invited all 88 county sheriffs in Ohio to such a rally. Speaking for Fair is Susan Tully from Wisconsin. Speaking for the Minuteman is Carl Whitaker from Tennessee. This rally will be held at Dublin Community Recreation Center in Dublin, Ohio, at 5600 Post Road. That'll be on April 20th, just 3 days from now, from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Now, they say that this rally is to hopefully find a solution to the ever-present illegal alien problem facing our nation. And it's not a financial problem, but the actual and real problem of incarceration, murderers, terrorists, rapists being allowed into our country without restraint. What can we as citizens, officials, etc. do about the real problem? We hope you will attend and give your thoughts on this issue facing Ohio, or indeed the nation today. Please contact me, and this again is Virginia Brooks, and here is her web address, or I'm sorry, her email address. She is the editor of NFC News. Veriforms, that's VareForms 1 at bright.net. Again, one more time for Virginia Brooks. Veriforms, I'm sorry, VareForms 1, the numeric 1, at bright.net for further info. I don't know who these people are, but you know what? Folks, at this time, I didn't have the time to contact Virginia. I'm going to assume that they are a solid group. So anybody that's attending that, I would like to report back to see exactly what your feelings were on it. We got a lot of good patriots out there, and they've got a great gift of discernment. Coming home disillusioned. Let me take this call first, and then I'll get into this. Sean in Austin. Hello, Sean.
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
I just got a call. I was coming from, I was working in Round Rock, and I was driving downtown to where I live in Austin, Texas. And I got a call from my wife telling me that we were out of power, and she called the electric company. And apparently there are rolling blackouts due to a state of emergency. I think it's probably something like Enron did in California. I don't know. Probably a bunch of crap, but I just wanted to make sure everyone knew.
All right.
What's going on right
where,
now.
But, what areas are affected?
When my wife called me, she said it was supposed to be until 6 o'clock, and that's right down at Riverside and Congress, downtown area.
Hmm.
And I just stopped at about 30th Street and tried to go into a store to get a Coke, and they were out of power. So.
All right. I understand my producer just said that 590 a.m. is talking about a rolling blackout at this time. So.
And my wife called the electric company. They said it was due to a state of emergency.
State of emergency.
They, yeah, and she asked what kind of state of emergency, and of course they didn't have that information. So.
All right. Well, I appreciate that very much, and we have any further information about that, we will certainly put it out on the program. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate that. Yeah, it a rolling blackout due to what? Oh gosh. Who knows nowadays, folks? Who knows? Some emergency, it's all an emergency. You're supposed to be wired in to the panic button. When they press it, you're supposed to jump. Coming home, disillusion. Shenomish County opinion. This gentleman, Christopher H. Shepard, is a former Marine captain who served two tours of duty in Iraq as a combat engineer. He is currently in his, he's finishing his master's degree in mass communication and lives in Marysville. This is what he wrote. It was a special to the Times, the Seattle Times, that is. He says, 3 years ago, I was a Marine Corps captain on the Iraqi-Kuwaiti border, participating in the invasion of Iraq. Awestruck, I heard our howitzers thunder and watched artillery rockets rise into the night sky and streak toward Iraq, their light bathing the desert moonscape like a giant arc welder. As I watched the Iraq war begin, I completely trusted the Bush administration. I thought we were going to prove all the left-wing anti-war protesters and dissenters wrong. I thought we were going to make America safer. Regrettably, I acknowledge that it was I who was wrong. I believed the Bush administration when it said Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. I believed its assertion that Iraq was trying to buy yellowcake uranium from Africa and refine it into the weapons-grade uranium for a nuclear bomb. I believed its claim Iraq had vast quantities of biological and chemical agents. After years of thorough inspections, all of these claims have been disproved. I believed the administration when it claimed there was overwhelming evidence that Iraq was in cahoots with Al-Qaeda. In January 2004, then-Secretary of State Colin Powell admitted there was no concrete evidence linking Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. I believed the administration when it grandly proclaimed we were going to bring a stable, Western-style, liberal democracy to Iraq, complete with religious tolerance and the rule of law. We never had enough troops in Iraq to restore civil order and the rule of law. The Iraqi elections have produced a ruling majority of Shiite fundamentalists and marginalized the seething Sunni minority. Iraq dangerously teeters on the brink of civil war. We have emboldened Iran and destabilized the entire Middle East. I believed the administration when it claimed the war could be done quickly and cheaply. It said the war would cost only between $50 and $60 billion. It said that Iraqi oil revenue would fund the country's reconstruction. I believed the president when he landed on the USS Lincoln and said major combat operations have ended. The war has cost the American taxpayers $250 billion and counting. The vast majority, 94%, of the more than 2,300 United States service members killed in Iraq have occurred since Bush's Top Gun proclamation. The cost in men and material has been far beyond what we were led to believe. I volunteered to go back to Iraq for the fall and winter of 2004-2005. I went back out of frustration and guilt, frustration from watching Iraq unravel on the news, and guilt that I wasn't there trying to stop it. Many fine Marines from my reserve battalion felt the same and volunteered to go back. I buried my mounting suspicions and mustered enough trust and faith in my civilian leadership to go back. I returned disillusioned by what I saw. I participated in the second battle of Fallujah in November of 2004. We crushed the insurgents in the city, but we only ended up scattering them throughout the province. The dumb ones stayed and died. The smart ones left before the battle to garner more recruits and fight another day. We were simply the little Dutch boy with our fingers in the dike. In retrospect, we never had enough troops to firmly control the region, and we just had enough to maintain a tenuous equilibrium. I now know, he says, I was wrongfully placed. My faith and trust in a presidential administration hopelessly mired in incompetence, hubris, and a lack of accountability. It planned a war based on false intelligence and unrealistic assumptions. It has strategically surrendered the condition of victory to Iraq to people who do not share our vision, values, or interest. The Bush administration has proven successful at only one thing in Iraq, painting us into a corner with no feasible exit. I will never trust any of them again. Now, let me just remind you who Christopher H. Shepard is. He is a former Marine captain, probably stated captain for quite some time, being bypassed for promotion, because you don't have the thinkers, folks, in the military anymore. All you got the stinkers. You just have the stinkers just playing handmaidens to their boss's orders, not trying to make anything better. It's just, you know, suck it up, join the ranks, and let's march on. Forget the fact that we're all wrong to begin with. It's probably why I was passed over for advancement. This guy should be a full bird, if not a lieutenant, if not a lieutenant general somewhere. I don't know. We're going to see if we can get this guy on the air one of these days, because I'd like to talk to him more. But here's a man that's been there, not once, but twice, believed all the stuff, did what every good Marine, every good service member does for America. They trust and believe in the civilian leadership. But more importantly, once the civilian leadership gets them into something, they trust their superiors, the people actually waging the war or doing the operations. That has failed all the way around. It is not just the Bush administration. It's these clowns wearing these four stars on their epaulets that I wouldn't let park my golf cart if I had one. All right? They've gotten rid of all, and a lot of them have quit out of disgust. And I thought that was a major mistake. I'm not kidding you about this. Before even this Iraq thing started, I used to have colonels, full birds, and generals call me that listen to this program. And they were asking me advice on their military careers. Now, how do you like that one? My simple response to them was this. If you can tolerate it, stay in. And they asked me why I said that. Because when the time comes, and if it's necessary, we need the good people in positions of command to pick up whatever personnel and materials they can and hit the high road if it becomes necessary. To a man, they understood exactly what I was telling them. I am sorry to see Christopher H. Shepard out of the service, because obviously this man was a good Marine. Well, he's no longer a Marine. What we've got to do, ladies and gentlemen, in this country is throw the traitors out of office, never to let them in again. Get rid of the, should we call them, special interest groups that have invaded our government and basically run it. All you're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, anymore are the figureheads, just the mouthpieces, the people that they put in front of the cameras to mouth the words, while their handlers stay in the background, in the shadows. This is not a course America can long endure. How to play elite gods. Henry Mackow. Henry, I know you listen to the program, and God bless you. I'll tell you, this guy is something else. Mr. Producer, let's skip this last break so I can get this in here. Henry says, how the elite plays God. The Tavistock's Truman Show. Is it like a cat toying with a mouse? The elite tease us with fleeting glimpses of our true predicament. One such peek was the 1998 movie The Truman Show, directed by Peter Weir. Truman Burbank, played by Jim Carrey, is unaware his life is a live reality TV show. Everyone, including his wife, is an actor, and everything that happens is staged. In other words, his life is a fraud. Trubin Burbank's predicament describes our own. According to John Coleman, the elite have been writing and directing the script for almost 100 years at the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, based in London. Coleman, 71, a former British intelligence officer, MI6, first exposed the clique that dominates the world in his conspirators hierarchy, the story of the Committee of 300. He wrote that in 92, folks. As its title suggests, his latest book is a rambling cry of anguish, The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, Shaping the Moral, Spiritual, Cultural, and Political and Economic Decline of the United States of America. The book is a confirmation that the financial elite engineered every war and depression in modern history and continues to condition our beliefs and behaviors. According to Coleman, Tavistock began life before World War I to convince peace-loving populations of the need to massacre each other. Those fresh-faced young American boys from Arkansas and North Carolina were sent marching off to Europe believing they were fighting for their country, never knowing that the democracy, talking about old Woody Woodrow Wilson, sent them to make the world safe for, was a socialist international one-world government dictatorship. Funded by the royal family, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, Tavistock pioneered the techniques of propaganda used to justify war. Outright lies about German atrocities in World War I resonate down through the decades to lies about Saddam Hussein's gassing of the Kurds and killing babies in Kuwait. Of course, the biggest lie of all is that Muslims had anything to do with September 11th. Coleman found that 94% of the key words and phrases developed by Tavistock for World War II use matched up with those used in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Gulf War. Coleman's main point is we can't trust anything the mass media or government tells us, especially not the news. He cites Stalin's propaganda chief, Willy Mützenberg. All news is lies, and all propaganda is disguised as news. This applies to the West today. Coleman says society is rotten with institutions and organizations directed by Tavistock to deceive and distort. They are called elite institutions because of whom they serve. The conspiracy reaches right down to the local level, according to Coleman. Tavistock has an invisible army of actors found today in the halls of justice. Police, churches, school boards, sports bodies, newspapers, TV, town councils, state legislatures, and our legion in Washington. They run for every office. Virtually every important corporation, university, think tank, or foundation is linked to Tavistock. It chooses the entertainers we watch, the pundits we listen to, the politicians we elect. Every U.S. president since Theodore Roosevelt has been under its control. They made examples of rebels like JFK and Richie Nixon, didn't they? Tavistock is behind every spontaneous social movement of the last century, including feminism, sexual liberation, the peace movement, the New Age movement, environmentalism, homosexuality, and abortion. The moral, spiritual, racial, economic, cultural, and intellectual bankruptcy we are in the midst of today is not some social phenomenon that just happened. Rather, it is the product of a carefully planned Tavistock program. We are constantly studied how to see how we'll react under stress. Orson Welles' Martian invasion in 1938 was designed to demonstrate the power of the news to deceive. Coleman doesn't mention it, but the power blackout in the Northeast was probably another study of mass behavior. So was the New Orleans incident. Confident of our sedated sheep-like behavior, Coleman says Tavistock went ahead and massacred David Koresh and his followers at Waco after lying about his activities. Tavistock follows Sun Tzu's maxim of kill a few, terrorize many. Coleman calls Winston Churchill's decision to bomb German civilians a war crime. Dresden was an outright attack on Christianity, timed to take place during when? Oh, Lent. According to Coleman, Tavistock is waging war on the Muslim world because Islam represents an obstacle to its control. He claims Russia and China still have a measure of independence. We are in this jam because a small group of dynastic families have amassed unlimited wealth by usurping the government's money creation role. To maintain this unjust advantage, they need to create world government, dictatorship in the name of globalism. This supranational elite is colonizing every country, including the UK, the USA, and Israel. As in any colonial situation, our political and cultural elites are chosen by their willingness to collaborate with the occupying power. Most people will do whatever it takes to be successful. Many actually think they are free citizens creating a better world. Like the two Jewish professors who criticized the Israeli lobby recently, they discover the reality when they stray from the script. The public is constantly under psychological attack. Turn on the news, and we see 9/11 cover-up accomplice Rudolph Giuliani shedding crocodile tears with victims' families as Patsy Zacharias Moussaoui's trial. Al-Qaeda hijacker Mohammed Atta mistakenly keyed the air traffic control microphone instead of the cabin intercom and is heard by the court talking to the frightened passengers. Sure. Meanwhile, the bird flu is coming to get us. Someone is burning black churches. Illegal aliens are flooding the country, despite the heightened security mandated by the war on terror. Jesus asked Judas to betray him. It goes on and on. People find the Illuminati to be an abstract and elusive enemy. Look no further than your television, your iPod, your radio, movie, or newspaper. Coleman says 450 of the Fortune 500 companies get their marching orders from Tavistock. This may explain why TV commercials seem more concerned with social engineering than with selling a product. I saw this gem recently. A little boy besieges a little girl with gifts. Each time she rejects him, finally she accepts a vase full of flowers, but slams the door in his face. She dumps the flowers in the garbage and uses the vase to gulp McCain's Kool-Aid. Now, in this cultural message to send to our children, they are messing people up so we are too divided and dysfunctional to resist them. Like Truman Burbank, more and more people are recognizing the plot. They are testing the elite storyline and finding it very perverse. They are walking off the stage to seek an authentic life. And that could possibly be, very well be, what Charlie Sheen is doing today. He wasn't talking about Charlie Sheen, but that was interesting that he used that analogy of walking off the stage. Folks, do we want to keep participating in something that we know is broken and it has no possibility of redemption? I'll give you a classic example here. We got a gal here. What's your name? Oh, that's right, Barbara Samuelson. She now works here at the network. She ran for, what was the seat, District 52 in Williamson County here, and that just happened to be Mike Cruzy's. Oh, yeah, Mike Cruzy was the grand master, if we can use that term, behind the toll roads down here in Texas. Yeah, he was the hitman. Well, I'll tell you what, she only ended up with 10 volunteers max. 10 volunteers, mostly during the week. She only had 4 volunteers. She couldn't get on anybody else's radio program except mine here in Central Texas. Now, why is that? But you know the more astounding thing about this is? Even with the late date that she entered the race and only with 10, and only 10, you listening to me, Austin citizens? Only 10 of you came to her aid, but yet she took 36% of the vote. I hope there's a message in there that you can glean, because I don't think I have to say another word about it, do I? That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Christopher Bolin, fresh off, oh, that's right, interviewing some of the heavyweights in the new 9/11 movement. We'll hear what he has to say on tomorrow's program. God bless you. We'll see you then.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.